Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
sung by the poet Shout Even Shy. We open most of the shows around here with it. It's pretty much become a favorite. This is Deborah Lee, and you are listening to A Team of Voices Radio. We are sponsored by the poet A.P. Taylor, and we all hang out at allpoetry.com, which is one of the largest poetry sites out there. It's free to join, and if you do so, you can find us under the group tabs. Again, A Team of Voices, and I'll meet you at the door. We post the links to the shows on the chat wall in the chat room so that you can follow along and comment. We also have topic boards at the top of the chat wall that all start with the date of the shows, which are almost every night of the week, different times, different hosts and hostesses, and different prompts to motivate your muse. So if you just follow those topic boards, you'll know exactly what's going on at the radio most of the time. This month being October, we've been doing a lot of darkness, various different ones, and we'll continue that all the way up to Halloween Day when Raconteur presents Monsters. Tonight, we are writing to art by the artist Stephen Mackey, and he's got some really funky art. It's got an old-fashioned look to it, and then it's also got like a horror flick-ish feel. And he's made, I don't want to say made fun of, but I guess he's given a nod to a few different fairy tales. He's given a nod to A Bride and some spiders and bugs and skeletons and some pretty cool art. And I'm looking forward to see what everybody wrote for it. I do have to say, though, that every week I say the same thing at the end of the show, how blown away I am by the caliber of poetry that comes from the poets that hang out here and call and put poetry on the topic boards. The shows, of course, wouldn't be anything at all without the callers and contributors, and just want you all to know how much every single one of us appreciate you, especially the board, which is me and my big brother Hatter and Sweet Pea and our sponsor AP Teller. The four of us are running this thing together, and you can find information on us on those chat walls as well if you have questions or you have a problem or you just want to say hello. And on that note, I think I will open up the studio and get the show on the road because we got some people waiting to come in and have some fun, starting with my big brother, Hatter. Hey, Hatter, glad you're here.
Hi, Deb. Thanks for the call.
No problem.
Wrapped up in the game.
I text, I didn't see you in the studio. I figured, let me just call him. He's probably not near the phone.
Okay.
And then right behind Hatter is Mr. Dave, D.W. Prophet. David, welcome to the show. Glad you're here. He's our storyteller.
Thank you, Deb. Yeah, I can't wait to listen to it. This should be a really fun evening. I'm really thrilled.
They usually are, and that was very nice what you wrote on the board this afternoon. Thank you. And right behind David is one of the kings of audio recordings, and he can make us laugh and nearly make us cry or spook us in between, and he can use a mega word bank like nobody's business. Hello, Mr. Wayne Gent. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Or none of the I can do any of it. Or none of the above. At least somebody. Am I still there? No, shoot.
Yeah.
Up
here, Deb.
I'm sorry. Yes. We have anybody else in the group that can use as many of word bank words in one poem as you do. I think. What's your record, Wayne?
I think it's like 127.
Yeah, I know it was over 100. I wasn't quite sure how close to 150 you got. But that's a lot of – and then to turn around and use all those words and make a perfectly good poem where it doesn't look like you tried to force any of them, it is a pretty remarkable thing. And that is one of the many reasons why these shows are always so great every night, because you guys rock. Just saying. So let's see. He's got quite a few on the board. So I am not sure how long Angel's going to be able to hang out before someone calls her or something comes up at work. So let me start with hers for a change. And you guys tell me when you see her poem. Anybody? All right. Okay, well, this poem,
I'm getting her.
Got it, Heather?
Got it.
There it is. Okay. Yeah, I found it.
Okay. And this is called The Kiss of Death by Heavenly Angel. And here we go. Philip couldn't bear to live without her, though she passed 20 years ago this night, All Hallows Eve. He had the undertaker preserve her, painted her cheeks with apple red rouge. Her lips he stained a stunning scarlet, She was dressed in an off-the-shoulder taffeta gown, and her hair was dressed in ringlets adorned with coral roses from the garden. He did not put her in a coffin or bury her underground. He placed her on the chaise lounge in their parlor. Tonight, chills run up Philip's back. From the parlor, he hears a breathless, sinister giggle, unholy, obscene. As he turned to enter the parlor, he is met by her spirit filling the doorway. Pale face, skin a pasty hue, eyes still closed in death's slumber, but seeing through him nonetheless. The icy breath of evil blows wisps of his hair around his temples. He screams right before she claims his spirit with the kiss of death. Ooh, I like how she put that right back to the title. Yeah, a perfectly creepy story there. Now, you notice that even in the creepiness, there's that romance because, like, he didn't want to live without her. I say careful what you wish for. Yeah, wow. The details of the preservation and the colors used for, like, her cheeks and lips. Her lips kind of match that pomegranate in her hand. But, yeah, the chills run up his back, and he hears giggles, a breathless, sinister giggle, unholy and obscene. You know, shame on him, because if I heard that unholy giggle, my feet would have turned me right around and beat out the door, not keep on going into that parlor. So, like, yeah, he claimed his icy kiss of death, didn't he? What a brilliant use of that piece of art. And that was one of the ones that could have been just plain, you know what I mean? It could have just been a plain picture. That's what's so cool about this guy. It looks like an old classic painting by one of the artists from the past. And I love how Angel haunted this picture, and even more so how she tied the title into her ending. Brilliant work. Absolutely. And always an honor to be her reader, but wow. Wow, wow, wow. Yeah. Very cool. Mr. Storyteller, what did you think?
Oh, this was great. You know, I loved how she set this up. The first, three stanzas kind of sets the whole scene up for the story that follows, and then you go down to the, or actually the fourth stanza is included in that storytelling. And then she turns it around and starts then making things take a different turn, you know. Tonight chills run up Philip's back from the parlor. He hears a breathless, sinister giggle. She throws that out there just as a kind of a teaser, you know, and then unholy, obscene. That sort of draws you in a little closer. As he turns to enter the parlor, he is met by her spirit filling the doorway. Yeah, this was really good. And, you know, it just shows what a versatile writer Angel is. You know, she can write this really loving stuff, you know, romance and all that. Yeah, yes, she can turn around and make it scary for, you know, Halloween or whatever she wants to do. And this is really good. I really liked it. It was really a fun thing to listen. And you read it really well too, Deb, by the way. So well done, both of you.
Thank you, Dave. Yeah, it was fun to read. It was really good. Yeah, it was really good. Hatter, what you think?
Look what you've done to our Angel Hallmark, Hallmark Angel.
I know, right?
We dug her into the darkness.
It was bound to happen, right?
So good. Yeah, and I agree with everything Dave said. This is very good. She's expanding her horizons.
for sure. And that was a really good short story. Wayne, what you think?
Well, I said, they're now teaching for fondling her for 20 years. Then it's her turn. This is a wonderful poem, lots of details, and I like the storyline, and she did a good job with this. You did a good read. Great job.
Appreciate that. And I have put your link on the board, so when everybody tells me that they see it, I will push the recording so we can hear what you brought for us this week.
All right.
So you guys see it?
I'm running down the hall as we speak.
Yep.
Don't trip.
I got it. Cute little boy.
Okay. Then we go with Mr. Wayne Gent.
This is called Cute Little Boy in Blue. I'm the little boy in blue. They say I'm cute. Decided I would go eat me some fruit. Saw the fruit way up high on a table. Thought I'd climb up if I were able. It's hard, small like me, to climb up on things. I wish I was born with wings. It took quite a while till I finally made it to the top. Wasn't sure if I'd make it, but I didn't stop. By the time I made it to the fruit, it was getting late. Decided to take a nap. He would have to wait. Stretched out on the fruit, rested my head on a pear. Probably got my hair on fruit, but I don't care. After I woke, started thinking, had better go slow. So I swung down, holding on to the fruit bowl. Took a slice of apple and three grapes to eat. Fruit was ripe and tasted very sweet. After eight, noticed the table was soft. Knew I could slide down on the tablecloth. Didn't take me but a minute to slide to the floor. I looked in the mirror. Saw someone easy to do the door. In.
Well, my, oh my, I think you were a little too calm. Yeah, and you were a little too calm to have turned around and saw something easy, looked in the mirror and saw someone easy to adore. And I'm looking at this is another one where it could have been cutesy, except look how small he is compared to the fruit. So I like that you put a cute little boy or a cute little boy in blue. Because, yeah, he is very little. And I would imagine that slice of apple and two grapes filled him up completely there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
And I like your details there. Like, it's hard, small like me, to climb up on things. I wish I was born with wings. I've wished that once or twice myself. and I like how you got there's probably hair on the fruit, but I don't care. And then... I awoke and I started thinking I had better go slow. So I swung down while holding on to the fruit bowl. Just the little details and visuals that you could literally see this little dude holding on to that heavy bowl so that he could go down. And then after I ate, noticed this table was soft, knew I could slide down on the tablecloth. Didn't take a minute. To slide down to the floor, looked in the mirror and saw someone easy to adore. And I like the message there, you know, like that he actually, no matter how small he is, and he wished for wings, but in the end, when he saw himself in the mirror, he saw someone that it was easy to adore. I thought that was sweet. I liked the play with emotions in there, Wayne. Very clever piece.
I tried to kill him, but I couldn't get around to killing him. He's just too cute.
I'm glad you didn't. No, I like the fact, I like the message at the end. Like I said, that he looked in the mirror. And he saw something he liked, and that's always a great thing. So, like, yeah, I'm glad you took it that way. Great share, David. What do you think?
Thank you.
Did you say me, David?
Yes, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sometimes I can't hear very well. Yeah, this was good. I agree with what you said about his size and things and liking himself for who he is. You know, a lot of us don't, and that's too bad because we're all of us unique, and if we're all the same and we all look great and we're all, you know, perfect, then it would be a real boring world. And I like the message in this. I like the whole thing. I thought Wayne did a really fine job summing up the picture and analyzing it, taking it apart and making a story out of it. It's really cool. And you did a good job on it, Wayne. I liked it.
Thank you. I think I'm going to take Dark off the time low.
Yeah, I would, because I like it. I think, like I said, it's got such an uplifting message that if only more of us could see something that we adore when we look in the mirror, probably be less grumpy people in the world. Just saying. Hatter, what you think? Unmute.
Yep, unmuted. I think that's Tom Thumb in the picture, or a reference to Tom Thumb.
That's what I thought.
Close enough.
Cool. But he's dressed like Little Boy Blue, so it was like a nice play there.
I love the way Wayne goes right into it. Little boy in blue, say I'm cute. Shout out, I'll eat some fruit. I'm cute.
That's a storyline.
Yeah, right. Get to it. Get her done. Eating some fruit. Yeah, and Tom Thumb, he could only wear clothes that came off of other dolls. They make clothes of his size. That's one of the things.
Hmm.
That was very good.
Cool comment. And how
are
your...
Oh, mine, Jeff? Okay, this one's going to be a reach. Okay. There it is, right there. Show me how do you pray? That's bad English. Show me how do you pray? It was like this. The hare swung a knife in a birthday cake fight. He says it needed a trim. Colored by rain, a dark purple stain. He says that's how he got in. Guest books are signed with your name, not mine. The pens are empty of ink. You remember who's sadder than a broken Mad Hatter? I might not be who you think. Questions be asked as Alice can't see, counting the wishes that fall from the trees, sitting around waiting to hear who bought the wine and who bought the beer. Wonderland waits for all that come late. The clocks tick backwards, they say. So if you believe, fall to your knees and show me how do you pray.
You know, where'd that go? Remember who's sadder than a broken Mad Hatter. I might not be who you think. I that one line, who's sadder than a broken Mad Hatter, is like so sad. I guess the people that hang out with the Mad Hatter would be sadder if the Hatter was sadder. Whoa, that was a tongue twister. That was like a Sally Seashell thing. But, I mean, because the Mad Hatter is supposed to be crazy. Mad, crazy, and fun, and smoking with the caterpillar, not sad. So it would make everybody sad around him. And then questions be asked as Alice can't see, counting the wishes that fall from the trees. I like the concept of wishes falling from trees, especially if they're coming true as they're falling. But I thought that was, if you look at it, the rabbit's trying to stab her, and she's got a party cake in her hand.
Yeah, he's trying to cut the cake, but it does look like he's trying to get her hung.
Yeah, yeah.
He's trying to cut.
But and then in the background, you got the, I guess it depends on where you're from, the hobby horses, the carousel, the merry-go-round in the background. So it's supposed to be fun, but he just looks pretty vicious. And it could just be, give me some cake, hey, if it's
yeah,
pink,
yeah,
so it'd be her cake, and she's supposed to make the first cut. So, I mean, I just,
yeah,
I thought it was cool. But like I said, there's something about the thought of the sad Mad Hatter that is a painful thought. But a very clever write.
Thank you. And
enjoyed,
you know,
that.
One of the, I was debating which picture to choose, and they had another picture of what looked like Alice blindfolded sitting at the table or something, and that's where I got that one line. I had it in my head, and I thought it was part of this picture. Alice can't see. And Lewis.
Oh. Yeah, there was a couple that could have been taken on an Alice vibe, so
yeah.
I do understand that, yeah. Clever share, Hatter. And Wade, what do you think?
Well, I said, I know the Wonderland is doing good in football, that's all I know. No, I'm not going to get off subject. This is a wonderful poem with the J. Hatter style of internal rhyme and perfect flow. I like the lines, guest books are signed with your name, not mine. And the pens are empty of ink. It's pretty cool. But there's no one that's sadder than J. Hatter. But it doesn't matter. Good job, J. Hatter.
Thank you, Hatter.
Making his own tongue twister there. Great comment. And David, what do you think?
Alice won't give me no birthday cake. Lord, that ain't funny. I just borrowed that from one of Creedence's songs. He's talking about Cherry Pie there, though. But anyway, yeah, this is good. I really like this. Of course, it's got Hatter's perfection. You've got this down to a science, writing the rhyme and meter in poetry, Hatter. And I like this. I like the way you did this. I also agree with what Deb says about questions be asked as Alice can't see, counting the wishes that fall from the trees. That's perfect. I really like that. Sitting around waiting to hear who brought the wine and who brought the beer. Like, who would care? But anyway, that's cool. You know? Yeah, this is really neat, Hatter. I like it. I think it's one of my favorites of yours. Well done.
Great comment. Yeah, and I guess if they were hanging out with that caterpillar at the hookah pipe station, they wouldn't care whether it was beer or wine or coffee, just wet my whistle. But yeah,
maybe
no.
A little weed.
Right? Yeah, there
you go. After the shrooms. After the shrooms.
There you go. Watch out.
Anything, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, well, click on the link for Jenny the Deep, and I'll read for her. Tell me when you see it.
I see it.
Got it?
Yep.
Got it.
Right. Now, this is called Rescinding Devoted Trust, Decomposing Capricious Hearts by Jenny the Deep. And here we go. You are a vulture devouring my carrion. A relic once precious rots away as you carry on. Stood by your side under the moonlight every night, but your predatorial actions caused allies to fight. Nothing left but skin and bones, divided now, our once sturdy homes. As you smash our heads in like pumpkins, the scorching sun boils what's left within. Capricious bellows echoing in the winds. Love is decomposing as trust for you rescinds. Betrayed ocean eyes flood your desert floor. Deception made hearts heavily close like a metal door. End poem. Yeah, I think you'd be slamming them doors around your heart shut tight and never letting anybody in again after your head smashed in and you divide loyalties and crush homes and I was gonna say I like that skin and bones, but yet standing there holding hands with her, So, like, you know, you did this, nothing but skin and bones, and our homes are divided, and you smashed our heads in, and now it's boiling what's left within. I mean, wow, vivid descriptions.
So
what's the
caption on that picture? What's the caption on that picture?
Caption?
Yeah, if you were to put a caption of the thought bubble above those two figures in the picture, what would they say?
Mm.
A meme, you know. Yeah, and which one's speaking? What? Maybe try that one day, 1 week.
I like that she starts off the first line, "You are a vulture devouring my carrion," which, you know, it is usually a dead animal like roadkill.
Yeah.
Still, I mean, a relic once precious rots away as you carry on. So is the relic skin
that's
wrapped around those bones? And I stood by your side every night. I mean, it's creepy, creepy good. And like, that carcass is just, like you said, skin and bones.
I know, there's a thought bubble above a little girl. There's a thought bubble of a little girl that says, excuse me, that says, "You said you wouldn't go bowling."
Yeah. Go ahead and finish. Make your comment.
It's very, I love the way, like you mentioned, the using carry on and carry on. That's sort of ballsy. That worked. Yeah, nothing but the skin of the divided now. Our one city homes. Yeah, I'll take the physical pain over emotional anytime.
Yeah.
Yeah, the emotional does seem to hurt more, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
Last longer.
Yeah, great comment. Wayne, what do you think?
Well, I think this sounds so romantic to be so dark. It reads like it's a classic, great flow. It's such a romantic, violent, dark, creepy, loving poem, but you got to love it. Jenny, I like the way Jenny writes. She's telling us, right? She's got good flow. I think it's fun. Loved it.
Awesome comment. And David, your poem is next, but will you comment for Jenny first, please?
Yeah. This is kind of like a story that shows you its degradation, I guess, maybe. I don't know. I mean, that's kind of the way it hit me. Really, really good descriptions. I really like the way Jenny writes. She's pretty cool. And she gets right down with the scary stuff and the creepy. This one's really creepy. Nothing left but skin and bones divided now are once sturdy homes. Yeah. Yeah, this is cool. I like this a lot. This was pretty neat. Good job, Jen.
Great comment.
Okay.
So show us what you got.
Okay. All right. I did another poem similar to this one about Humpty Dumpty several years ago. And when I saw it again, I thought, see what I can do with it this time. It's called Humpty Dumpty Poker. Alice and the White Rabbit's cousin, Brownie, play poker with Humpty Dumpty. His fate rests in the probability of card games. Alice loves to watch with her tennis racket to swat away any tomfoolery by either Brownie or the egg. Poker is a serious business for finely dressed eggs. They could fall off the wall of yesterday or land on Alice's side in future tense land. Brownie doesn't care. He's just an algorithm running in the background. What are the probabilities in a card game? Card games betwixt an egg and a rabbit? That's the question, dear reader. What do you think? Who do you think will win the next hand? If Humpty falls over backwards, he'll break into lots of pieces. We can't wind the timeline in reverse. The white tiger of entropy won't allow it. So there's no putting the egg back together again. Sad news to all the king's horses and all of his men. Brownie becomes impatient with Humpty, saying, "Come on, Egg, throw down, boy." Humpty says in his best sheepish tones, I need more cards, please. You phony Egg, I already gave you four. Alice is looking up. She sees something we don't, but I know who it is. I can smell her. Gunpowder and cotton candy floating down upon the card game. You behave yourself, Brownie, she boomed at him in long wave RF. He's playing for his life here. You're just a badly coded computer algorithm. The dark of Brownie shook the wall of yesterday that they were sitting on, and Humpty Dumpty fell off the wall into yesterday and broke into 1,000 pieces. Brownie's bad code was deleted. The Dark Mother spoke to Alice and me, saying, well, so much for well-dressed eggs and bad programs. I can't save everyone. This shall be a lesson in physics, probabilities, and time travel into the past. Even I cannot put Humpty Dumpty back together again, my man. Kiss your queen, please. So I kissed the Dark Mother. Alice looked at me and said, you know her? Yeah, Alice, I do. Gunpowder and cotton candy floated on the evening air. And poem.
Well, you know, I love how you managed to bring the Dark Mother into all these aspects. We had Alice, and we had Humpty Dumpty, and we had a poker game. And where was that? To swat away any tomfoolery by either Brownie or the Egg, poker is a serious business for finely dressed eggs. Poker is a serious business. He's trying to win some money there. Where are the probabilities in a card game? Card games betwixt an egg and a rabbit. That's the question, dear reader. Who do you think will win the next hand? Well, I have visions of the rabbit knocking Humpty off the wall into 1,000 more pieces, and then it's pretty hard to win a game of cards. Or him and Alice are in cahoots, and she's going to use that tennis racket and bat you across the yard there. So I think that was cool. And I like how you're told to kiss your queen, and when you do, Alice is like, you know her? It's always cool to see the adventures that you take the Dark Mother on. And at this point, I think I can almost smell that Dark Mother perfume when you start reading, because, like, I think she's warming around us all to see if we are paying attention while you read, Dave. Very cool.
I think
there.
So.
Very
Thank
cool.
You.
Before I get another comment, say hello to AP Taylor. Hello, AP. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Dan. Hi, everybody. Thank you.
And right behind Mr. Taylor is none other than Sweet Pea. Hey, Sweet. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here.
Hello, everybody.
And I am going to see what Wayne thought of Humpty Dumpty.
Well, I said I was playing poker about 40 minutes ago, and I was playing worse than Humpty did. I ended up with egg on my face. Humpty Dumpty was playing his cards. Humpty Dumpty was playing his cards, and Humpty Dumpty hit the ground real hard. I learned my lessons in physics. Acceleration equals mass times distance squared. It's a great, great little poem you got here. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Wayne.
Cool comment. And Hatter?
Yeah, I thought when you got to the part, you're just a badly coded computer algorithm. I thought you were going to come back and say, well, it's better than a fading out hologram, start name calling.
Yeah.
Badly coded, there it is, badly coded computer algorithm. Yeah, well, it's better than a hologram.
It could be.
Did you know what Humpty Dumpty was in reality? What he
no.
refers to?
Oh, yeah.
Humpty Dumpty, there was an attacking force, army attacking a kingdom with like a castle. And the king had this cannon, would outreach any arrow or anything they had, supposedly, and it was big enough they called it Humpty Dumpty. And that's one theory. When Humpty Dumpty had a great fall, they had to destroy the cannon to conquer the kingdom. The other theory is the king himself is Humpty Dumpty that owned a cannon.
I'll be darned. I didn't know
that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Somehow I did.
Cool. No comment on that, but cool comment, Hatter.
love the trivia. Love the trivia.
Yeah. Sweet, did you hear David read?
I heard the last parts of David reading, and I've read the rest of the poem. I really enjoyed the whole thing. Again, I love your storytelling. I love anything that we can talk about Alice. Humpty Dumpty is my favorite little bit of Alice in there. And, again, creative and beautiful.
Thanks. Sweet. Thank you.
And absolutely hilarious, by the way, too.
What's going on?
Hello, Dave.
Oh, we are.
There you go. Sorry about that.
Again.
No, actually, I had. Oh, I'm sorry. Didn't realize I was muted, and I saw that you dropped. But I was wondering if you could comment for David and then read your poem, AP.
Well, this doesn't happen very often, David, but I'm going to go to the Eagles and quote them. You ready? Don't you draw the Queen of Diamonds, boys. She'll beat you if she's able. You know the Queen of Hearts is always your best bet. Now, it seems to me some fine things have been laid upon your table, but you only want the ones that you can't get. End comment.
Ooh.
There you go. How's that? You can work out what you want from that. Okay.
That was a good song.
You ready, Deb?
To quote that one. Very cool. And show us what you got.
This is Wood's release to image number 26. That's the one with the young lady in the guillotine. And it goes a little bit like this. They say you can hear the wood when above released. It snakes its way down runners towards the neck, held in place while bare beams well greased. The whole process takes barely a sec. That time passes inexorably as the mind of one twirls. Past years of dolls traipse as older memories spill. Well, out beyond the trees, in the cloud-seeking pearls, thoughts of tomorrow no longer linger still. Instead, a dark notion carves this dull afternoon scene. Past the trees and the wood moves the sharpened blade. It is descending now faster, tinged with green, from the forests of the surrounding glade. And it speeds on the runners until pierces flesh and bone, with the shunters stop further within the grains. Heard with the swishing of branches winds home. Once person, bloody remains. End poem.
Well, ew. That was hauntingly creepy. I'll start at the end. I like how you hear the branches and the wind and the swoosh, and then there's remains. It's a great way to describe that guillotine action happening there. And then back to the beginning, they say you can hear the wood when above released as snakes its way down and runners towards the neck. I like that it snakes its way down. Held in place while bare beams well greased. Whole process takes barely a second and snap, you're gone. Yeah, poor Alice, she's been through a lot tonight already. Because, like, yeah, a lot of these are I didn't realize that the artist Stephen Mackie was such a big Alice fan until I started grabbing the art that I had put in the folder, and I was like, wow, yeah, I guess that's probably what drew me to him to begin with. And instead of a dark notion carves the dull afternoon scene past the trees and the woods moves the sharpened blade. Another time, I think I said this when I read Angel's poem, she had some noises coming from the parlor, but went in there and wound up dead. Well, you were hearing these noises in the woods, and, you know, that's the time you turn around and run instead of going, because you're going to wind up in that guillotine there. I thought that this came out really cool. And imagine the stress that second before it comes down probably feels to the victim like a million years, and then in a blink, it's gone. And then makes me wonder if the gross, if the carcass is hit with a chicken with its head cut off kind of syndrome for a minute, like, you know, that doesn't move. How creepy. That's where my head went at the end. In just a second, it's gone and its bloody remains. And I'm visioning poor little Alice, like with her hands trying to find out where's my head. Creepy. Fun share.
Thanks, Dick.
Wayne, what do you think?
Well, I heard him read the poem and it sounded great, but I got a comment here in a minute. I just got back and let my cat outside and I was running down the steps and I just got back, so I got to make a comment here in just a second.
So good one.
Not a problem. David, what do you think?
Oh, I thought this was pretty neat. I like the first stanza there. It says, they say you can hear the wood when above released as it snakes its way down runners towards the neck, held in place with bare beams, well greased. Whole process takes barely a sec. I think I read someplace or heard that the guillotines, when they were first made, they didn't have that slant on the blade, and some of them didn't work very well that way. And then they decided, well, let's put a taper on it, and that improved its efficiency, I guess.
Thank goodness for that.
This is a really interesting poem that you wrote here. And I liked it. It says, instead of dark notion carves this dull afternoon scene, past the trees in the woods moves a sharpened blade that is descending now faster, tinged with green from the forest of the surrounding glade. I like that because it kind of shows what the rest of the forest is seeing in this scene here, you know. I often wondered what trees and stuff thought of some of this stuff, if they really perceive anything like that, you know. But who knows? You know, maybe they do. I don't know. Anyway, I like this, AP. You're always fascinating in how you write your stuff and how you translate it from a picture into a poem. It's well done. Thank you.
Thanks, Todd. Cheers.
Awesome comment. Hatter, what do you think? Unmute. Oh, his call dropped. And I realized that I was grabbing Sweet's link, and I just wrote AP's comment on the bottom. So I will fix that. And Sweet, will you comment for AP before you read yours?
Absolutely. I love the last stanza just because it's funny and kind of dark for you, and I like you a little in the dark. It feeds on the runners until pierces flesh and bone. With a shunt, it is stopped further within the grains. Heard by the swishing of branches, winds home. One person left bloody remains. That is just perfect. And eerie and kind of sick and twisted. Very well done.
Thank you.
Very, very well done.
Thank you.
I love it.
You lock it under it.
Scares me. Yes, scares me, makes me giggle, and just all perfectly Halloween-y. Very well done. Happy, happy, happy. All right.
Fun. At AP, are you heading out?
I'm going to listen to Sweet's poem before I go.
Okie doke, then Sweet, show us what you got.
All right. This is Sleep, My Pretty, and I love this photograph. Rock-a-bye, my lover, sleep. The stars have fallen, the moon is hiding. In the darkness, your mind to keep. Sleep, my lover, sleep. Fairy tales and wishing wells are now disturbed, as daydreams give nightmare soothing power. Sitting on a dead horse carousel in fields of decaying flowers, bones and feathers caress your angelic face, rendering my lust for your embrace. Sleeping Beauty's comatose state. In whisper tones, I declare a lover's kiss upon my frozen corpse's lips. My lover, your lineages was sacrificed before the birth of Rome, when devils and witches own the nights and the morns, to keep the monsters of hate and scorn from the veils of evermore. The trees and walls have held steadfast until this year passed. Witches and devils fight as time ticks towards the end of a holy night. The world will awake as veils of evil rise in the glory of a tangerine dawn. May evil be beside you forever. Sleep, my lover, sleep. And poem.
That voice, that smooth, warm voice lulls you into a sense of security as you read these disturbing details through here. My lover, your image was sacrificed before the birth of Rome, when devils and witches owned the nights and the morns, to keep the monsters of hate and scorn from the veils of evermore. I like that line, to keep the monsters of hate and scorn from the veils of evermore. And of course, like, where is it? The world will awake as veils of evil rise in the glory of a tangerine dawn. And you think of a tangerine dawn as something being so beautiful until you realize that evil's rising with it, and it's not so pretty anymore. May evil be beside you forever. Sleep, my lover, sleep. Yeah, really creepy. And I like I like the art, too. And someone, I can't think of who it was, they came in right after you had already chose it and asked for it, and then I guess nothing else spoke to her because she didn't come back. But I figured you were going to have a hard time choosing on this one, Sweet.
It was a tough one.
Yeah, a lot of them I thought, oh, Sweet will love. I think usually I try to go for four. I think there were six or eight that could have spoke to you here, and this was definitely one of those. But I loved it. Goodbye, my lover, sleep. The stars have fallen. I'm sorry, but the stars have fallen is not giving me any comfort whatsoever. So, like, yeah, I think that you nailed this art. But then you are our queen of darkness. Brilliant. And what were you just going to say?
Thank you. I was going to say this one struck me so bad. It's rare that I get the picture and write right away. I got the picture and you had a poem, I think, within 45 minutes, which is very rare for me with your pictures. I usually take a few days.
Yeah, I did notice. That's how I knew it spoke to you. Awesome, awesome, awesome. AP, you want to comment before you go?
Yes, I think Tangerine Dawns and I think of bloody great big fires, so I go there, Sweet, in terms of dark and evil. And I sort of thought it had a sense of the Greek around it, and I know the picture's not this, but the harpies in Greece were sort of these ancient sort of humanoid sort of half reptiles. Sicilian harp sort of people, and they used to sing people to their death. And so I sort of heard you reading this and sort of thought harpies and Greece and people sort of descending upon nice music that was taking them into tangerine death. So I enjoyed it very much.
Yes, very Ovid-ish.
Thank you.
Isn't that one of your favorites?
Sweet. Ovid, yeah, he's very much. I love his love poems. He does do very much the like AP is talking about.
Yes. Bye, everybody. Bye, Sweet. Thank you.
Bye, darling. Thank you.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Bye.
See you, AP.
Hatter, what do you think of Sweet's read?
Okay, the prayer, Okay, I declare a lover's kiss upon my frozen corpse lips. Is that it? Is that like my lips are so cold, they're like a frozen corpse's lips? Or are you claiming a corpse?
He's a corpse. Lips? He's definitely a corpse.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then now let's go. This is sort of out of the Addams Family. So can we go ride the dead horse carousel, please? Very,
maybe.
Very clever.
Cool comment. And David, what do you think?
Oh, well, you know, what really sort of set this poem off to me was the fourth stanza. It gives a kind of a time stamp to the age of this. It says, "My lover, your lineage was sacrificed before the birth of Rome." I like that. That's a really slick way of chronologically classifying the poem, maybe. I don't know. Maybe I've got that all wrong. When devils and witches own the night and the morns to keep monsters of hate and scorn from veils of evermore. I like that, veils of evermore. That sounds good. Yeah, this was a really interesting poem. I love it when you start writing this way, sweet. It always has a sensual edge to it, and I like that. Rock it by my lover's sleep. The stars have fallen. The moon is hiding in the darkness. You are mine to keep. Sleep, my lover, sleep. Wow.
Thank you.
Yeah, this is pretty neat. Pretty neat. And this gal even has red hair. Imagine that.
I think Deb does that on purpose.
Well done, sweet.
Thank you.
Yes, I do. Great comment. And Wayne, what you think?
I said, bones and feathers, Chris, your ain't great face. She probably needs a little makeup by now. This is one lady you want to wake up. She's pretty bad. I feel like I'm sitting on a dead horse carousel in a field of decaying flowers. I guess it could be worse. This is a spooky, dark poem. You did a good job reading it. Every line in is cool. I like one that goes, witches and devils fight as time ticks toward the end of holy night. I'm picking the devil to win this one. Your read was outstanding. Came in a great mood. Loved it. Great job. And you beat me in football. I don't like it a bit. Bye.
Thank you.
Awesome comment. Okay. Sweet, how long are you staying?
How long is your show?
I have Stephen and then two recordings and two reads, so not much longer.
Probably till the end.
Okay. And my other question, I was doing the, you know how I usually wait till your next show before I take away the last one, and I went to do a take away the urban or the legends that we just did, and I noticed the crazy words. Did I miss that show,
No, that's this week's show. I've got
okay. I just wanted
because I had a family thing that
yes,
I had.
Okay, I couldn't remember
that I skipped, and then I yeah. So I'm out of a week order. I just got to change the date on that one.
Okay, so that'll be the 26th. And
right.
I'm in it, so I'm just changing that date real quick right now. Awesome. Okay. So that's what I figured you would do. So I wanted to remind you so that you didn't put up another topic board just in case. So there it is with the new date. And since we are discussing it, you want to go ahead and tell everyone about it?
Yeah, I am doing a Bring Back Old Words from the English Language. There are a bunch of words on the topic, and there are other websites that are cited from that. So you can use some of the words I've got, or you can go to the website and pick some of those words. It is spawned basically from my grandson because he likes words, and he has said some very crazy words to me, but we want to bring up some other words, such as why do we say the day after tomorrow when one of the words is overmorrow, which means the day after tomorrow. So I have a doctor's appointment the day after tomorrow, or I have a doctor's appointment overmorrow, which is so much easier to say. So Yeah, come and let's learn some words from centuries past, such as one of my favorite words that I swear comes from the late 1700s, early 1800s, which means someone thinks they have a treasure or is a fine character but is actually full of crap or is meaningless is the word trumpery. And that is, across my heart, up to God, a word from another century that sort of fits into something today. It's been a lot of fun to look up those words. So go on, take a look, have a good time with it. That's my show.
Sounds like fun. And I was just looking, there's a couple, me and Hatter and LG Mace have a poem up there already, so nice start. Check that one out. And I just, for you guys who are in the room right now, I am clicking that topic and sticking it on the chat wall so that you can take a look at the great words to choose from. Now, if you click on Stephen's poem, I will push his recording. See it? All right, here we go.
Eerie Chasm, Psalm 1, by Stephen 76. Shake the bedded muck from overhead. Surface 20 years been thought as dead. Healing earthen quake where once did bleed. After 7 digestive decades, time to feed. End poem.
Ooh, imagine how hungry it is after 7 decades. 7 digestive decades. Wow. It's like if I saw that, look at the size of the critter, the bug, as compared to the little girl. She's peeking out, and it's like, oh, my God, it's that time to slam the door and run, right? 7 digestive decades, time to feed. I think that's really, really cool. And I like how the surface 20 years been thought of as dead. So they haven't surfaced. And then all of a sudden, uh-oh, there they are. They'd be mighty hungry. Stephen and his four-liners, man, he can tell an entire story in just 4 lines and then score a 10 for it, too. So, like, and on the old and the new auto-rank system, so that's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Fun share, Stephen. Thank you very much. Hatter, what you think?
Oh, shoot. Yeah. Okay, I muted. What's the video? It looks like Loch Ness. I don't know. Is that the Ernie
it's the Lake Erie monster? Erie Chasm
Song.
Yeah,
Ernie the Eel. Oh, is that right? Oh, okay.
He does have a kind of a Loch Ness feel to it, doesn't it?
See, now there's another meme, that picture. What does it say? I think it says, "Do you have any great poupon?"
Yeah. Oh, time for dinner. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. I tell you, turn the music down.
What music?
That's what he's saying. He's complaining. It's a downstairs neighbor.
Okay. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't hear any music. Okay. I like the Great Poupon better. Fun share. Sweet, what you think?
Hold on 1 second. I was writing my review, and then I lost the poem, and I wanted to hear me. I, first off, have my heart in Lake Erie. It's a long time ago. It ate part of me, but no.
What?
Never mind. You're not going to get it. I like it. I like it a lot. So, I mean, these four-liner things are killing me, just FYI, because I've been trying to, like, if he writes four lines and I can only write four words, and I'm not doing very good at it, FYI. But anyway, the picture creeps me out. Let's just start there.
I'm thinking about it. Is he haiku in this? That's one more than a haiku.
I don't know. No, it's not a haiku. It doesn't even read as a haiku. But after seven digestive decades, time to feed. I mean, if you eat once, it takes you seven years to digest it, or 7 decades to 70 years. I'd be afraid to eat again. But, I mean, it's a fabulous poem, but I'm just trying to read it over and over again going, healing earthen quake where once did bleed. There's so much in here in four lines that I'm just like, should I take this deep or take this light? And what the hell are you doing to me, Stephen? Just so that you know. This one's got me thinking probably way too deep. Just FYI, everybody. I don't know what this bug is about. Sorry, I could just ramble on about this one.
He's got to be referring to another.
Just like Hatteras. Yeah, we're rambling on about something we should probably not be rambling on.
What?
What is this man talking about? What is going on?
He should drive Boston crazy.
Deep psychological things that's going on with this bug and eating and coming back and what are they doing? And it's a simple poem about a bug.
Oh, my goodness. I like how he said, what? Like, it sunk in, and he's like, wait a minute. We'll comment. David, what do you think?
Well, to me, this is sort of like something that was a bad deed that was done a long time ago, and everybody just sort of maybe forgot about it or chose to forget about it, and then all of a sudden something brought it back up to the surface, and the person's going to have to deal with it all over again, whomever was the instigator of the whole situation. I mean, that's kind of the way I took it anyhow. I'd like to give this bug a couple doses of 12-gauge double-aught buck. Just for general principles, I don't like bugs. I hate them.
Wow. How about a can of Raid?
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. Talk about overkill. It's not that big. Oh, my goodness. Cool comment. Wayne, what you think?
I'm trying to steal my line. I said, this poem bugs me. Sounds like it's going to be hungry after seven decades. It's a wonderful poem of turning tables on humanity. Where's the Raid when you need it? Love this poem. Great job, Stephen. Good rhyme.
Awesome comment. Okay. Thank you, everyone. All right, we have two recordings and two reads left, and I just put Gerald's on the board, so if you guys click on there, I will push his recording, and we will see what he brought for us. Everybody ready?
Yep, got it.
Okay.
Play audio.
Here we go, guys.
Possibilities, written and read by Gerald Green. Surrounded by the din of darkness, saddened by the state of what I see, I'm forced to rise above a deep green haze where possibility and opportunity fill the air. I met a prisoner of ghetto's language, heard her strict vocabulary, 35 words expressing all she has to say, linked by dirty bombs, making the innocent blush. You might not know, but the haze is spreading, creeping up to higher, sturdy ground, reaching into decorated classrooms, sucking brilliance like an urban leech. The sour soup of yesterday seeps into culture's tattered fabric, adding its stench to blood-stained patches, giving grime a sense of pride. The wise and gifted ones deny the power, know that any stick can be a stilt, to rise and taste the savor waiting just above, wafting like hot cinnamon or coffee's fresh aroma. I carried golden scissors, cut the cords of bondage, making my escape where beams of light make hope a mantra for the dispossessed, and smiles the key to open trunks of happiness. Now I write to you. You know who you are, encouraging you to follow the yellow path seen only from above. Embrace the peace of Webster's abandoned book. Seek what I have sought, releasing chains of mental poverty, and glow without remorse for those who stay behind, refusing to believe in possibilities.
My, oh my. Where's that one? Man, there were so many really cool lines here. I'm forced to rise above a deep green haze where possibilities and opportunity fill the air. I met a prisoner of ghetto's language, heard her strict vocabulary, 35 words expressing all she has to say, linked by dirty bombs, making the innocent blush. I'm just something about the thought of making the innocent blush. That's really cool. But I thought that, here it is, reaching into decorated classrooms, sucking brilliance like an urban leech. I think that's an awesome, awesome line there, and the visual of sucking the brilliance out. How creepy. The sour soup of yesterday seeps into culture's tattered fabric, adding its stench to blood-stained patches, giving grime a sense of pride. I mean, you know, you got to be pretty gross to give grime a sense of pride. I thought that was cool. I like the details here. And I carried golden scissors, cut the cords of bondage, making my escape where beams of light make hope a mantra for the dispossessed. I mean, really, really cool. And all this from a little girl walking on stilts. You just never know.
Yeah.
See, this is what I was saying at the beginning, that the caliber of poets that write for our shows and contribute their creativity to it week after week never ceases to amaze. And Gerald's one of those, you know, he can whip up a story for us totally unexpected, just like this one. Where's that? At the end there, without remorse for those who stay behind, refusing to believe in possibilities. And I like how he tied it back to his title. And his recordings always sound so clear, like he should be a newscaster or something, because he's got such a clear reading voice. I think, it, as usual, he did a fantastic job with this prompt. And thank you very much, Gerald. Appreciate it. And let me start with Sweet.
To me, it's just like he's just basically saying the art of language has morphed from fine art into street graffiti.
Yep.
And the more we let it drown, the more we lose the ability to speak in full sentences, because so much of our language is shortened to, like, you know, half words. And it drives me insane when people can't say a full word, because it's so much easier just to shorten it. I mean, how hard is it, like, to say a whole word? Three little words that people say to me, I'm like, I'm sorry, what? I do not speak an acronym. That is not a language. It really is. Acronyms are now a language, and it drives me nuts. I mean, I know texting has created this language, but half the time I don't know. I mean, your BFF, your LOL, your LMAO, we have created a language of acronyms, and we are losing a lot of language. And this is very interesting to me, especially as writers. You know, are we losing
is that what
so
is?
Much language? I mean, if we really think, are we creating a universal language that we will no longer need translators because we'll all be able just to use emojis or acronyms?
For example.
Because, yeah.
Well,
so I really, I found a lot of this is pretty cool. No, go ahead. My comment on a poem. That's all it is.
It's like, you know, I get what your angle is. I was waiting for Betty on Stilts, something to that matter, and he went deep. It's like they're not teaching long cursive handwriting anymore. So actually, if they're not able to write it, they can't read it. So it's like a secret language. They won't know what they don't know what
you're
it
right.
is.
Very true, very true. And, you know, Sweet, you were just saying about how it was rights were going to turn into, like, just emojis and stuff like that. And totally
right.
off topic, it put me in mind of a contest that I entered once for If Your Abs. Mm-hmm. Bear with me for a second. But putting him in my mind is why I'm saying off topic for a moment. I just want to take a moment to say that I know that if just went through one of the most horrible losses that a parent can go through, and that my heart breaks for him and his family, and that I am very, very sorry to hear of the loss of their daughter. And
oh my God, that's awful.
I know that from what I read, it said that, you know, it was peacefully in her sleep. But to a parent, that's no comfort when you have your child gone. And I know how close you and she were. And other than that, there's really no words. But I wanted you to know that you're in my thoughts, and that we are really, really sorry. Sorry about that, everyone, but made me think of it, and I couldn't not say it.
Did you talk to him at all?
I sent a message, but he's sort of incognito at the moment, and
sure,
it's about where
absolutely.
I am. I wrote on his guest book here on the site, and I
mm-hmm.
noticed that a lot of other poets were chiming in too. So if you want
he
to
announced it
go
on all poetry.
Yeah.
You made it.
If anybody wants
okay.
to go to his page and leave him a message, or up to you. I just thought I would mention it. And like I said, what once he was put in my mind, I couldn't not say how sorry I am.
Right.
And I believe that was October 15th that it actually happened. So he'll be gone for a while, understandably. Back to the poem. Wayne, what you think?
I'm glad you informed me about what happened. Boy, that's sad. It's all good out in the losing child 2 weeks ago, a week ago. Man. Well, this poem was very well written, and it was a lot of metaphoric expressions. Of all the wonderful lines, I like the one that says, "This sour soup of history seeps into the country's tattered fabric." That's just too cool. And then on down the poem, he says, to rise and taste the savor of waiting just above, wafting like hot cinnamon of coffee's fresh aroma. He just has such wonderful wording to get the point across. And I think his poem is magical. I think it's a wonderful job he did with it, and a great recording. And good job. I hate to hear about his daughter. That's really sad.
Great comment. And David?
I agree with so I don't know who else. I think it was Sweet was talking about the this acronyms and stuff. I agree with that, what she said about it. It's too bad that people don't have the range in their vocabulary to express themselves decently, you know. I find myself as a poet and been writing poetry for a long, long time. I dissect passages in books, and I'm boy, that's some lousy English, you know, and couldn't they have done better than that, and it's in a book, you know, and I guess they didn't proofread this one too far. I kind of got the impression from this that this was not only, you know, a blight that's creeping into our language, but also into our schools, you know. I see all the time, I watch a lot of YouTube and stuff, and I see a lot of times stuff that these young kids are trying, you know. They'll get on one of these Mickey Mouse little scooters, and they'll get up on a really tall roof that's real steep, and they'll ride that thing down, and then they'll try and land on a steel railing, you know. I mean, what do they think was going to happen, you know? And there's no common sense. There's no common sense anymore nowadays. The kids are breaking their legs and arms and turning themselves into eunuchs and all sorts of stuff because of that. And I don't know. I don't know what's the matter with our schools either, that they can't teach kids how to write so you can read it. This happened a long time ago. When I was working at a service station, this one young kid used to work down there, and his handwriting was so bad I couldn't read it. And so when he'd come in the morning, I'd say, his name was Mikey, I said, Mikey, what is this? I said, I can't read it, you know. And then he'd have to translate it for me. And so this is, you know, there's a part in here where it says it's creeping into our schools or someplace in here. I don't remember. I don't want to take any more time to disassemble it. But I think this is a really good poem. And I liked where he took it. So well done, Gerald.
Great comment. Okay, so we have Phil, and we have Felons, and we have Lil Gary. So I'm going to play Phil's recording. If you guys go ahead and click on there, and I will. And this is an award-winning poem that he sent for us this week. And Patter, you got it?
Yeah, yes, got it.
Is a poem by Phil the Poet called Burying the Past. The twins stand around the bones of a sordid past, where the clouds gather to make the scene overcast, spitting out venomous rhymes upon the skeletal form, the outpouring of years of a bitter windless storm. Skipping around a backyard grave with toy tomahawks, dripping crimson from jagged edges, quite unorthodox. The night hour fills with the sinister sound of children laughing, waving their weapons in the slow motion of slashing, beating the bones of a flogged corpse again and again. Children full of tantrums seem not to feel the rain. No longer daddy's playthings, no more silent vows, no more hiding behind the screen of furrowed brows. It's him who turned these children into ravaged animals, the aging skeleton lying in the tomb of forgotten cannibals. They attended his funeral to make sure that he was dead, feeding the maggots which became his eternal bed. Now they have buried the past, moving on with their lives. But there's something sinister behind their brown eyes, an innocent persona covering a plethora of violence, clouds the memory into accepting the deadly silence. End poem.
My, oh my. Okay, if you take a peek on the chat wall, I did just add the art that he wrote to. And talk about creepy details like the tomb of forgotten cannibals and the children laughing, waving their weapons in slow motion of slashing. Man, where's the maggots? I
can't. Here they are. They attended his funeral to make sure that he was dead, feeding the maggots, which became his eternal bed. Talk about mega creepy details. I think, I mean, like I said, take a look at that art. They are there in that open grave. And I just, how about there's something sinister behind their brown eyes? An innocent persona covering a plethora of violence clouds the memory into accepting the deadly science. I'm like, oh, my word. Bill's another poet who can turn around and take anything and spin us an amazing poem to go with it. And I wasn't sure which art Bill was going to go with, and I was very surprised to see the one he chose. And now, after hearing his story, I'm like, wow, really impressive. I mean, this
something
is the stuff called Peace Bedtime Stories type of thing, you know,
yeah.
Where at the end you're like, wow, and pretty taken aback by all the gruesomeness of it. I think he did a brilliant job, and congratulations on that award. I agree. It is, for sure, an award-winning poem. And I appreciate you supporting the show, Bill. Thank you very much. My sweet, what did you think?
Unmuted.
Sweet, are you muted?
I am muted. Anyway, as I was saying, my brilliance, I think it's a refreshing, it's dark, it's sinister, it offers suspense, and you're on your toes, and the language is so superb. I mean, it's a killer piece, pardon the pun. I really like this. I mean, you talk about cruelty with a capital C.
Awesome comment. And David, what do you think?
Oh, boy. You know, I read a poem like this or hear it read, and I ask myself, why am I even writing poetry? I don't know anything about it, you know. this is really good. He tells an excellent story, and he does it in rhyme, and meter is good, and old shooting mass is good. I understand why it's an award-winning poem. It's creepy. It's dark. It's strange. Skipping around a backyard grave with toy tomahawks. How weird is that? Dripping crimson from jagged edges, quite unorthodox, I'll say. The night hour filled with the sinister sound of children laughing, waving their weapons in slow motion of slashing. Wow. This is a real masterpiece. It really is. It's so timely for Halloween, you know. I don't know if I'd read this to young children, but it's pretty neat. Pretty neat. Phil doesn't
disappoint
either.
Yeah, and I think there's something unnerving about mixing the scary details with the seemingly innocent thought of a child's toy, now not so innocent because flashing with it. So, really, really brilliant piece. Heather, what you think?
They've always said something about twin little girls, that there was that they could communicate between the two without speaking, and that it was almost unholy. There's been more stories. I mean, look at The Shining. Refers to it.
Shark twins, wow.
I got to tell you guys something. There was, we were doing the dog show, and on the other side of the field, on the dog show, there was a trick-or-treat thing going on, and this woman had her twins dressed as the Shining twins. It was so freaky. It was freaky as hell.
I bet.
Yeah, it was crazy.
In gathering props for our haunted house, we got a severed head shipped to us from a magic shop order, and it came back, and my wife said it looked just like me. I was all and it sort of did,
spooky as itself. I kept playing this.
Wow.
It's
just like you, huh? That's different.
Not a little bit. It looked just like me. I'll tell you the truth.
Sure, she didn't have it made.
Yeah.
By sleep.
That's funny, sweet.
Oh my. Okay. Let's see. We have two left, and I said, it's Felon and Sweet. I was hoping you would read hers. It's a brevity, and then David, I was going to get you to read Barry at the end.
Okay.
Not or yell when you see it. A sweet old breeze.
Ah!
Good boy.
Got it.
All right. Here we go. Altered by Felon. Chiffon, cashmere, and champagne. Bale, an orchard. Blossom, clover of ivory rains, ash, a luckless love, abandonment clings upon, a blushing cider splinter, sense of lilac consumed by a wilting daffodil's inhale, a bride's commitment to four walls of aquamarina loneliness. End poem.
Great read.
Paint piece of paint.
You know, I actually giggled out loud when I saw her choice because when she called the show Saturday, I had made a fuss over the fact that she's a newlywed. And then she turns around and she chooses a picture of a bride. So I'm thinking, And I like Ash, a luckless love. Clover of ivory rains, ash, a luckless love. And just that is it. Now, since she said the details on the show, she remarried her ex-husband from 23-ish years ago. And she's so happy now. And I'm thinking, okay, where's she going to take this? And we have Clovers of Ivory Rain Ash, a luckless love. So here's hoping that this time it's not luckless. But I even like she's got the blushing cedar splinter. But we got daffodils and so it's like a mixture. She had used some of the words from the optional word bank at the bottom, and she did a really cool job of it. And she told us a complete story in 41 words. She has started writing longer poems, but Felon has always been a poet who, she's always been a poet who could nail the topic with a brevity. But I've never known anybody who can just sit down. I mean, AP's quick, don't get me wrong. He'll sit down and minutes later he's back with a poem. But in those same minutes, Felon will spit out too. And to collab with her, try keeping up with her as she spits the lines back at you. I don't know what it is, but she's the Speedy Gonzales of words when it comes to writing brevities and collabs. But I thought this came out really great, and I like the use of the word bank that she chose as well. But it still strikes me funny that the newlywed chose a ghostly bride. So, very cool. And a great read, sweet. What do you think of poem?
Oh, I love Sense of Lilac Consumed by a Wilting Daffodil's Inhale. I just love that idea. You have this beautiful lilac, and then all of a sudden you just smell like dead flowers. And daffodils dead is not a pleasant smell. It's very weedy and earthy and just kind of like a soury, kind of grave-like smell to me. I don't like dirt, and I don't like wet dirt especially. And that's kind of what it kind of smells like. And so if you're kind of consumed with this lilac, and all of a sudden you want to breathe that in, and you just get that wet, earthy, gravish kind of smell. Wow, that's awful. So there's such a dichotomy in that. You know, like, this is what you think you have, and then when you're in it, you're like, oh, my God, this is awful. So I don't know. Maybe she's thinking, you know, this is what I have, and yet this is what I went and got, and maybe she's happy of what she has again. So I don't know. I think it's kind of, there's a cruelty in its beauty, because it's got this nice kind of beautiful colors and beautiful mentions of flowers, but underneath it, it's kind of got a cruelty to it. So Fawn has always been that one that kind of writes in that gray echoes of cruelty.
Awesome comment. Hatter, what you think?
I'm muted. Yeah, I didn't know any of that. What was going on? You mentioned that she had just gotten married again. That was great. I don't know. It's hard to tell where she's coming from. A luckless love, ivory rings, abandonment queen. This is one of those that you got to just remember. It's just a poem, and it's not so deep. That
awesome comment, David.
Well, to me, this sort of sounds like she's leaving a past that she didn't like, and she's welcoming what's in front of her right now, and a new love in her life again, or an old love that's back in her life again that she likes. That's kind of the way I see it. If somebody said, well, why don't you explain yourself a little bit more? I couldn't do that. I'm not familiar with chiffon and cashmere and all that stuff because I don't wear it. But that's what I took from her. And I've always liked Fellin's work. She's more mysterious to me than anything else. And she does it with a lot of class, and I'm really glad to see her back. The last time I saw a picture of her, she didn't look very good. She looks fantastic in her new profile picture, so I'm glad to see her back. She's a neat lady, and this is a good poem, too.
Great comment. Yeah, I'm glad she's back, too. It was a year in September that she had been gone, but she had a lot of stuff going on with her health, and then in the total opposite mm-hmm. of the health issues, she found joy and love and got married. So she sure went full circle while she was gone, and she called the show and read on Saturday, and Pinky sweared that she would call and be around more often. So I'm looking forward to that.
Good.
Okay, did I put that on the board? Okay, so the last poem tonight is by little Gary, and he was going to call. That's why I saved it for last intentionally. But since he has not, and we are about to close up, David, would you please read for us?
Yes, I will. My Haunted House by Little Gary. Hey, my house is haunted. My past fights, lost loves, and every night, they really get on it. If walls could talk, they'd tell you that me and a girl has probably done it, until every square foot in my home has its own ghost that does nothing but haunt it. In the kitchen, there's a small hole in the wall. It's because me and a girl were having one hell of a ball. The missing cabinet fell off when I was adding a girl's dishes because I'm so sexy and tall. And the table's gone because a girlfriend left me and decided she might not. She just might as well take it all. Now come into the living room. The empty brown carpet, I bet, reminds you of Dune. Or maybe an island where you and Tom Hanks have gotten marooned. and the sign next to the door that says no smoking was put up, hoping a girlfriend's mom was going to get well soon. Next is the bathroom where there's a well water-stained shower, a place where me and a girl made love for hours and hours. Next to the empty window where a girl always set her gifted vased flowers, over an empty cabinet where towels used to be stacked by me and a girl's son in leaning white towers. Now down the hall where all the pictures used to be hanging, you'll see all the doors are marked up from all of the slamming and banging. If you're able to see it, that is because the light took a shoe one night, and at a best, it's warning. Over a mud track floor with so many old tracks from girls moving out that you'd think it's raining. On the left is a room where I keep my bed that's been rocked so many times in the past you could call my ass Fred. And every corner of it has had its fair share of kissing, licking, I love yous, and a whole lot of
yeah.
It's a room where many passionate nights are all now over and dead. If love was a game, then I never won it. Every short straw in the world, I've already drawn it. And although I'll never be a famous poet or write a fancy-ass sonnet, I know I can show you a real ghost this Halloween because my house is haunted. End poem.
Thank you, David. And yeah, Hatter, I see why you spoke up, but it was like just a tad touch, so I was cool.
I thought I was muted.
Being adult, but no, I could tell you were wondering where it was going to go, but he kept it there with the, you know, what
I'm
once was.
I was watching out for it.
Yeah, and there was a real sadness to the end there. If love was a game, then I never won. Every short straw in the world, I've already drawn it. Already drawn it is just such a sad thought. There was humorous pieces in it, but there was also, like I said, that sadness at the end to think that, you know, no matter what, he's never won at love. And so I think that the mixture of emotions and stuff that he put into this came out really awesome. And I appreciate it. And, David, you did a great job reading it. What do you think?
Yeah, it is kind of sad, you know, and kind of telling how hard it is to find the right person in your life, and some people are lucky in that respect and some people aren't, and I don't know, I just don't think that little Gary was very lucky in that aspect, if any of this is true. I hope it isn't, it's an interesting poem. And he writes in a really unique style, and I liked it. I thought it was a good poem.
Awesome, David. Thank you. I keep muting myself and forgetting it. Hatter, can you comment on that poem?
I got the pass you right now.
Oh, okay. No problem. All right. I appreciate that. And again, David, great read. I appreciate you for reading that for me. And I put the link on the board for my show next week. It'll be All Hallows Eve, and it'll be my last dark show for my last show of October. And there's a big variety of choices. I didn't go with any specific artist. I just went with a whole bunch of really cool art that I found. And, like, there's some wicked characters. So you thumb through there, and no doubt something will speak to your muse and could have a lot of fun with this one. And like I said, it'll be the last dabble for me into darkness for the September month. And that'll be All Hallows Eve. And then on the Tuesday after that, Raconteur will host the Halloween show. And he says to bring your favorite monster with you. So I'm looking forward to those two shows. Now, normally I would tell everybody what's up tomorrow and Wednesday, but at the moment I know that Sky's not feeling very well, so I'm not positive. I'll check with her tomorrow and see how she's feeling, and we'll take it from there. But remember that Sweet will be here for sure on Thursday, and she's got those crazy words for you guys to take a look at. But again, go ahead and click on that prompt I put on the wall, and you can choose your art for next week to get your favorite before someone else takes it. And on that note, I want to, again, thank our sponsor, A.P. Taylor, who's also a board member, along with me and Hatter and Sweet Pea, four-man crew that produces the show. And I want to say thank you to Stephen and Angel and Jenny and Felon and Phil and Wayne and Gerald and Gary and, of course, our storyteller, David. I can't wait to see if the Dark Mother makes an appearance next week in the last week of the... I think there's a couple pictures that would be friends of hers in there, so we shall see. And on another note, if you would prefer, and you haven't already came up with a plan, you could also use that art that I sent you instead. So to you.
And, oh, God, I love that picture. That one just blew me away.
Sometimes I see them and I'm like, oh, man, I got to get this to David because, like, you know, she looks so futuristic and stuff. So I thought, and she did look like you could go in a different direction, or it could be the Dark Mother dressed to the nines. So I'll be anxious to see what you do with it. And in the meantime.
You know what? I was just going to say, as I was looking at it, I had all these ideas that start popping into my head. And so I thought, well, this won't be hard to write to if I'm doing this already. So thank you, Deb.
My pleasure. Like I said, when I see them and they scream, send me to David, I pay attention and I listen. All right. So,
Deb, that was little Gary. Sorry that he was late. He just listened, and he said he understood that we're closing shop, so.
Oh, okay. That's a bummer. I feel bad. Like I said he was going to call, but, yeah. Okay. I'm glad that we got to use the poem anyway. And since we have many, many times before spoke of AC/DC, the Australian band, and how wonderful they are, and because we were in the darkness, I figured a good way to step out tonight would be, again, with Hell's Bells. So here we go. Love and respect, everyone.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
appreciate your support. Night Hatter. Love and respect.